This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, eternal, unbroken, verbally inspired word. The voice of truth is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle, 501 Opelousas Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking, inviting you to stay tuned to hear God's message by our late pastor, L.R. Shelton Sr., on this subject, the sin of idolatry. That's the sin of idolatry, and this is number 196 in this series.
According to 1 Thessalonians 1:9, salvation is turning to God from idols to serve the living and true God. In 1 Samuel 15:23, we are told that, listen now, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Then in 1 Corinthians 10:14, we are told to flee from idolatry. Then Paul, enumerating the works of the flesh, according to Galatians 5:20, said, the works of the flesh are idolatry, and so on. Then the early Christians, according to Acts 15:20, were to abstain from pollutions of idols. Then according to 2 Corinthians 6:16, there is no agreement with the temple of God and idols. There never has been, never will be. You can't hold on to any idol and worship God. Now, we're going to show you that this morning. An idol is an image. An idol is any object that is worshipped. An idol can also be anything, now get it, that has no substance, but can be seen as a shadow or an image in a mirror or an image in the mind. Then idolatry is the worship of idols regardless of what they may be. Man is essentially an idol maker. Man by nature wants something tangible that he can either see, feel, or hear by his natural heart as an object of his worship. Many of you are worshiping a light or an experience or a vision. That's your idol. Therefore, man may seek and make a representation of God himself and gradually transfer to the work of his own hands that reverence and worship which properly belongs to one living and true God. There's a strange fascination that engrosses the heart of natural man as he bows down and worships the works of his own hands. Now, there's something strange about that that I don't understand. I can't explain it, but it's there. His music, now you get this, his music, whether it's symphony, jazz, or what type, man's music is an attempt to present, not to the eye, but to the ear, what may be called a picture of the different feelings that occupies his heart. Now that's it. And every age of awakening produces its own music praising the Lord Jesus Christ, and every age in its carnality produces its own music. Therefore, music becomes his God to the natural heart, because it becomes the idol of his heart. This all leads to man worshiping himself. That is present-day modernism. His image, whatever it may be, engrosses and incites his mind, and it supplants the simplicity of spiritual worship and turns man into an idolater, a worshiper of idols. The idol that man selects represents to him the unseen deity or sets forth one of his attributes. This image, now somebody didn't get that, now you listen. This image, whether it's material or of the mind, takes the place of the spiritual reality for which it stands. And then idolatry brings in all sensuality that attends every form of idolatry. And every form of idolatry worship produces sensuality and every damnable type of immorality. It does. All through the Scriptures, God warns His people to turn away from such, because there are severe punishments of God resting upon every idol worshiper. The religious world today is rapidly drifting into idolatry. Now, don't you listen to me. I'll show you from God's Word. In view of the above, let's turn now to Exodus, the 20th chapter, beginning with the first verse, and read Exodus 20, the first verse. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now you listen. We have read to you the first two commandments as recorded here in the 20th chapter of Exodus. And the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, fixes the object of worship, that is, the Lord thy God, or Jehovah thy God. Then the second commandment that I read to you, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. This commandment fixes the means and ways of worship, that is, the external worship of God, or the outward worship of God. That is the means and ways of worshiping God. But the Lord here is very definite about how He wants us to worship Him and by what means we use to worship Him. All right? Now let's notice that command, will you? Let's notice it. It's in the form of a negative. Thou shalt not. Now, don't you listen to me. We notice here that the making of images for religious use and services is definitely forbidden. Let's read Leviticus 26:1. Listen to God's Word. Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. We notice here that our God is very particular at this point with a definite command that no graven image of any type shall be set up as relates to divine worship. He says, I am a jealous God. I'll have nothing between me and the worship. Now you listen to me. I'm not giving you what I think. I'm giving you what God's Word says. God definitely forbids graven images. That is, images cut out of, are carved in wood, stone, or the like. These idols are particularly expressed, first, because they're chief among idolaters, and second, because they represent men, beasts, and such like in all their parts and members except life. They look so lifelike sometimes, and people are so ready to be deceived by them. And God counts this as an abomination in His sight. I know the usual explanation of the use of idols is that they remind me of God. I've talked with hundreds and thousands. Or they said, well, I'm not worshiping that idol. They remind me of God. I'm not worshiping that picture. It reminds me of God. Many have told me, oh, I don't worship idols. I worship God. But you try to take that idol away from that individual and see how tenaciously they cling to it, which shows that they are worshiping the idol and that the idol has displaced spiritual worship in their heart and mind. And their heart is clinging to that idol and not to God. Every sinner who comes under Holy Spirit conviction and comes face to face with the idols of his heart knows what I'm talking about. I know that. I want you to listen to me now. Don't you turn that dial. You listen to me. In this second commandment, God forbids and definitely condemns every similitude or any likeness whatsoever that may be used for religious use and service. Now, brother, he condemns all your flannograph pictures of Christ. They are damnable, abomination in the sight of God. Now, you put that thing down, teacher. It matters not whether it's an image of stone, or whether it's a painting, or a weaving, made in any way whatsoever. He says, any likeness. And he means exactly what he says. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness. And he is very particular in this command about the things that man should not make any likeness of. He points them out. Listen. He first mentions, listen, shall not make any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above. In the heavens above, he means the air, the starry heavens, the heaven where God dwells. He is to make no image of any birds, sun, moon, stars for religious worship. He is not even to paint the Holy Spirit as a dove. He says this is idolatry. Then he goes on to say, make no graven image or pictures of God himself. Angels are heavenly spirits. Our God is a jealous God. And he is very particular here in this commandment. Listen again to this commandment. Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. Then all of these so-called pictures of Jesus is an abomination in the sight of God. And it is surprising how those pictures, are worshipped by multitudes in and out of all religious bodies. The only concept multitudes have of the Lord Jesus Christ is that of an abominable picture of Jesus, which is a product only of the natural mind of fallen man. Let me tell you something. These pictures of so-called Jesus held up before that child. And folks will tell you now, this is a picture of Jesus talking to children. And that picture is engraved upon the mind of that child and becomes an image to that child. And when that child comes on out and joins the church without salvation, that picture becomes an idol to that child's mind. And that's the idol that child worships. Now, I won't tell you, teachers, God will hold every one of you responsible at the judgment bar of God for misleading children. Our Sunday schools today, from that angle, are becoming an abomination in the sight of God. I'll stake my destiny on it. Now, I know, my friends, that isn't popular preaching, but I'm talking about the truth. No man knows how the Lord Jesus looked. When the Antichrist appears, you'll find no doubt that this will be the picture of the Antichrist. We better take heed to this commandment. This commandment condemns so much of present-day external worship. And that is one reason why the spirituality of our churches have dried up. Or the drying up of spirituality of our churches has been displaced by such external worship. Now, Christmas is coming on. I'll get to that in a few minutes. He goes on to say, Father, that we are not to make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the earth beneath for religious services and our public or private worship. In the earth, there are men and beasts and trees and plants, the dead bodies of men, reptiles, crocodiles, and so on. Our God says we shall not make any likeness of these for religious worship. And how many of you folks in your homes have such idols and pictures and everything else? And you say that's a means of calling your attention to God. You're an idol worshiper. He said, I'm a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. A born-again believer abhors such outward form of external worship. Born-again believers do not have to have any type of image to worship Jehovah God. There are multitudes that are being led astray today by this so-called faith healing. Now, you get me now. That is very popular everywhere. because they're stressing in their worship what they call a faith image. I've listened to them. And they said, now, just wait a minute. Wait a minute. That faith image is an image of the mind that's been planted there by the picture, so-called pictures of Jesus. When they come to pray or worship, they tarry until that image appears in their minds. That's what they tell them to do. I've listened to them. Which is an image of Christ based upon the pictures of Jesus they've seen. They concentrate their mind upon that picture until it becomes an image in their mind. They call it a faith image. And this is the image they worship. This is the God they pray to. How do you know, preacher? I was once there. I know. God delivered me out of that. The average individual does not know that Satan works in the mind. He is religious. He's a religious individual. Many times, as these individuals tarry and concentrate upon that image, Satan will appear as an angel of light, and working upon their mind will give them a vivid picture of Jesus upon the cross, a Christ in the air, or a picture of some angel according to the picture they've seen. And they count this a great visitation from the presence of God, which is nothing less than demon worship and idol worship. Now you listen to me. Let me call your attention to a very strange scripture found in 1 Samuel 15:23. 1 Samuel 15:23. The latter part of that scripture. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. The word idolatry there comes from the Hebrew word teraphim, which means healers or household idols. Boy, that shocked me when I got a hold of that. I'm taking my authority from Strong's Analytical Concordance. Get it now? Comes from the Hebrew word teraphim, which means healers or household idols. Faith healing today has become an idol. Multitudes are worshiping the God of healing, which is an idol, behind which is witchcraft or demon worship. Then on the other hand, there are multitudes who wear things around their necks or carry things in their pockets to bring good luck or drive away evil spirits. A businessman sat in my office one day, not long ago, whom I admire very much as a man, and he said to me, I came almost getting killed the other day, preacher, in a car wreck. And I guess I would have been if it had not been for the charm I wear around my neck. This would be termed a household god and a rank form of idolatry. That's it. Now listen to this statement. It may shock you to see how far our people, I mean our Baptist people, have drifted into idolatry. I received not many months ago a letter from our Baptist headquarters stating they wanted to send me the Lord's Prayer engraved on a medal that I may carry in my pocket as a good omen to bring me good luck. I read that and I turned deathly sick. That's heathenism to the core. That's idolatry. That shows how far we have drifted from spiritual worship into rank idolatry. You listen to me. Don't you turn that dial. Then again God says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in the water under the earth. In other words, man is not to make any image or pictures of fishes whatsoever in the rivers or seas for religious service. And yet man has corrupted everything in the world, in heaven, earth, and sea, in his false worship. Now why is Jehovah God so definite and specific in his command not to make any graven image or any likeness of anything in heaven above or in the earth or in the sea? It's because there's a proneness in the natural heart of man to corrupt the worship and ordinances of God. The worship of God has been corrupted by vile idolaters and superstition all over the world. This is true almost worldwide today. Then there's a peculiar bent in depraved human nature to idolatry. This is because man by nature desires to see what he worships. And the more of an outward show it is, the better he likes it. That's the craze for building great cathedrals today. Idolatry. This is because man is spiritually dead. He has no contact with God. He knows not Jehovah God. And he's got to have something tangible, something he can feel, something he can see as an object of his worship. As there is no Holy Spirit conviction today, scarcely, man's spirit is therefore never opened. Man's never awakened out of his sleep of death. Therefore, religion as a whole has drifted into idolatry of some form or other. In the Protestant world, it has drifted largely to the worship of another Jesus that they can accept with their mind, make a decision with their depraved will, and thereby attach themselves to some church or some religion and call it salvation, which is nothing short of idolatry. There is a peculiar hellish zeal that accompanies such idolatry. I've often been asked the question, Brother Sheldon, why are these folks so zealous in the preaching and practicing of their religion? The answer is that their idolatrous religion inspires them with that hellish fury, and they believe they are doing God's will, unto the point that they'd put every born-again believer to death if they couldn't get by with it. And they do it in countries where they can get by with it. Now, that brings us face-to-face with this fact. We know there's a decline in spiritual religion all over the world in every denomination. This debunking slide of apostasy is manifested in three distinct ways. Now, you lay down your pots and pans and listen. First, in heresies. Second, in idolatry. Third, in witchcraft. This falling away is manifested in heresies. And this is when we serve the true God with a false worship. For instance, with all your visual aid, your moving picture shows, and your robe choirs, and all of that, trying to serve the true God in a false way. Then in the second place, the apostasy of today is manifested in idolatry, which means we worship false gods, supposing them to be the true God. This is Satan's trump card, because he's led the religious world to believe that every religious experience comes from God, when at the same time Satan can imitate every experience except to give life. Satan is a great imitator. Then in the third place, this present-day apostasy is manifested in witchcraft. This means we adore false gods, knowing them to be wicked and false. This is the height of idolatry. Idolatry begins in the church with heresies. That is the corrupting of the Word of God, and finally leads to witchcraft, the worship of demons. It would be most surprising to have a listener if you knew how many of our church folks of every class visit some old witch or wizard or medium or fortune teller or palm reader, which is nothing more than demon worship. Why have we drifted so far away from the Word of God? I know Sunday school teachers, I know deacons, I know preachers who'll go ever so often to some old palm reader to get their fortune told. And they go right back in their churches next Sunday and try to teach the Word of God. That's witchcraft. Why is our worship so corrupted? It is because the Holy Spirit has no place in our church life. He is unknown. If he were, there'd be Holy Spirit conviction, which would lead to repentance and the true worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me go a little farther. Let me call your attention more definitely to the way our worship has been corrupted. And that is, multitudes are led to believe that you can't worship except in a certain place. Therefore, they have come to worship the building. You can't worship except you go to the building. Christ said to the woman at Jacob's well, you worship me in spirit and in truth. Then multitudes say that you can't worship except you're kneeling or you're flat on your face. In other words, it's a religion of doing. It's all external. There's nothing of the heart. Satan has led in the corruption of our worship. Get it now? Satan has led in the corruption of our worship by adding certain holidays to the Lord's Day. For instance, there's Christmas, which is a heathen holiday. Nearly all the churches will celebrate Christmas, but they've added it to the Lord's Day. They are celebrating the sun god, which is rank idolatry. Then they've added Good Friday and also Easter Sunday, which also is heathen. It leads our folks astray from the true worship that came from old Babylon, the seat of idolatry. I know what I'm talking about. I'm stating facts. In the last few years, there's been added Mother's Day. This has been commercialized and turned into false worship of Mother. I wish we could throw away, tear asunder from all such holidays, and come back to the simplicity of worshiping Christ. Let me go a step further and ask. All right, listen, how many of you folks out there are so superstitious until you'll not begin a new job on Friday? And if you see a black cat cross your path, you won't dare it go on because you think it'd be bad luck. Or if you break a looking glass, it's bad luck. How many times have you heard someone sneeze and someone say, God bless you? You've made a God out of sneeze. Do you know, my friend, all of that is the relics of idolatry? How many of you give more emphasis and attach more authority to the tradition of your church than you do the Scriptures? We are living in a day when you can deny any portion of God's Word and make fun of it and get by with it, and your religious leaders won't say a word. But, brother, you violate the tradition or one dogma or one religion of your religion, and see if you're not ostracized. I know what I'm talking about. We are living in a day of rank idolatry.
This brings to the close another broadcast, and we want to thank you for your letters and gifts that keep these messages going out over the Voice of Truth program each week. Again, the title of the message was The Sin of Idolatry, and that's number 196. That's The Sin of Idolatry. And you may have a free printed copy simply by requesting it. All of Pastor Shelton's messages preached on the Voice of Truth are available also on cassette tape for $3 each, and this tape includes the full hour, the choir singing, the letter reading, and then the message. All right, this time I want to give you our book of the month. It's My Plea for the Old Sword by Eon Paisley. Our authorized version, the King James Version, is incomparable in its faithfulness, majestic in its language, and inexhaustible in its spiritual fruitfulness, and continues to this day to reveal the matchless grace of Him whose name is the Word of God, and who is crowned with glory and honor. In this book, the author slays the lie that the authorized version is outdated, outmoded, mistranslated, and a relic of the past. No other can take its place. He gives many proofs throughout this book that the Bible we hold so dear is the very Word of God. Brother Paisley was ordained in 1946 and ministered in Northern Ireland for over 50 years. This book sells retail for $8.99, but we can sell it to you postpaid $6.80. That's My Plea for the Old Sword by Eon Paisley. And I wish you would write and get that little book. It's a gracious book, and it would bless your heart. Also, we want to remind you of our choir tape number 3 that we recently published. It's a group of songs by our radio choir here, about 16, 18 songs, old blood song, and it sells for $4 postpaid. Also, if you will, we'll send you a catalog of our bookstore, Radio Bible and Bookstore. And if you're hearing us over the internet, www.wlno.com now. We're there every Sunday morning from 10 till 11 and 11 to 12. And if you can pick up that broadcast on your internet, over your computer, I wish you'd sit down and write me. Let me know that you're hearing it. We're interested in hearing where all the internet is being made available, and we're going to publish shortly a list of all the stations that stream, as they call it. And we'll let you know right shortly in the magazine all of those stations. It's always good to be with you folks on this broadcast. The Lord has given us grace to come back this morning with another message. And this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis asking you to sit down and write us. Let us hear from you. And may the Lord's richest blessings rest upon you.